News Radio Lifestyle Weekend with Pause and Listen. Got a question about your pet's health or behavior? We have the answers. Now your host for Pause and Listen, the founder and CEO of Clara Veterinary, Dr. Peter Brown.
Welcome to Pause and Listen. I'm really excited to be here with you today. Pause and Listen is Northwest News Radio's newest show here, Saturday afternoon starting at 2 p.m., and we're going to be every week here with you. I'm here with Marina Rockinger, who's here to help us through the show and help guide me through.
Hold your hand. It's your first time on the radio, yeah, so welcome.
This is new to me.
Welcome. So. You look good in the headphones, by the way.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm really excited to learn more about your dogs, Lexi and Murphy,
yes,
as we go.
Yes, I have two German Shepherds, and so you're going to hear a lot from me about German Shepherds for sure.
Yeah, this show may just be me answering Marina's questions.
Right, of course, we're going to always welcome everybody's questions. But Peter, I got to ask about you. So you're a veterinarian, obviously, right?
Yes, I am.
Do you like to go by Dr. Brown, Dr. Peter? What do you go by? Doctor?
I go by whatever anybody wants to call me. Okay. So
I'll call you Dr. Peter. How about that?
That's great.
So how did you come about, like, why are you a veterinarian? Or what was that about?
Yeah, I've always been passionate about animals. I don't remember a time in my life where we didn't have an animal. And growing up, we were surrounded by dogs and cats, and I have always just passionate about them, and I've also always loved science, and so it was a natural occurrence for me to go. I grew up in the Ellensburg area, went to Ellensburg High School.
Well, there you go. Plenty of animals around there.
Plenty of animals around there, and then went over to vet school at WSU and graduated from there, and since I graduated, I've been up north of Seattle for my whole career.
Really? What part north of Seattle?
So I actually live up in Bellingham now.
Oh, wow.
So I'm up.
Well, welcome. Thanks for coming to Seattle.
Oh, I'm down here a lot.
Yeah. That's exciting. So how long have you been a vet?
So I graduated in vet school in 1991.
Oh, you've been at this a minute.
I've been at this for a minute, yes. Okay. And I've done a wide variety, so I welcome questions from, you know, cows, horses, dogs, cats.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Because most of us just have the regular pets, like cats and dogs, and maybe a bird or a ferret or something that. But it's good to know you've worked with farm animals and things like that.
I have in the past. Yeah, currently I work with only just dogs and cats.
Yeah, like house pets.
Okay. And house pets, yeah.
Right on.
Certainly my career has been with a lot of different critters.
We're excited to have you here, Peter.
Well, I'm very excited to be here.
I was going
to
call you Dr. Peter, and then I just called you Peter. Are you okay with that, too?
Totally fine with that.
Yeah. I like that. You're pretty down-to-earth guy.
Of course, yeah. And it's a great profession, and I'm really excited to share some of my knowledge and answer those burning questions that that you may have. And you know, have fun with it.
And you know there's going to be a no end of questions because, you know what, the pet industry is a multi-multi-billion-dollar industry, right?
Right.
So people love their pets.
Yes.
And I think any possible thing that's ever happened, you're going to get the question about.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And through my career, I've seen most everything. So,
have you really?
Yes.
I've got some for you because we had at one point four cats.
Okay.
And we went through some things with these cats.
Yeah.
I'll definitely be sharing that with you at some point too.
Yes. Yeah. So would you define yourself as a crazy cat lady with four cats?
No, because we don't have four cats anymore. We have two German Shepherds.
Okay.
No, the German Shepherds did not take care of the cats. Everything's fine. Good. We got the German Shepherds after the cats. Good. It's all good.
Usually the cats are in charge anyway.
Yeah, I know,
so
right?
Don't worry about
seriously,
that very
much. I think at one point we did have not the German Shepherds we have now, but we had a prior German Shepherd and she was all big and tough and everything until it came to the cats. And then she was scared of the cats.
Yes.
At
one point we had a little dog, a little Shih Tzu, and then we had three large dogs.
Uh-huh.
And the little Shih Tzu was definitely in charge.
Ran the place.
He would sit by the bowl of food and the others would all stare at him. And they would not eat until he left.
Until he gave the cue, now you can eat. It's all good. Yeah. So let me ask you this, Peter, since this is a brand new show, what types of things do you hope to accomplish with the show? Like, what is it you really want to see?
Yeah, I think as a veterinarian and a passionate pet parent and a pet enthusiast, I want education. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there and you can Google and you can find answers. I want to be a source of some truth and some information and help guide people as they have a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear out there amongst, is my pet healthy? Am I doing the right thing? Is this behavior normal? What should I do here? And be a source of that information.
Right.
I'm not here to replace your local veterinarian and that connection that you have with them.
Right.
And that guidance on there. But if we can help educate the public, pets are a major part of our society right now. And they're a part of our family. I can't imagine life without them. And how do we kind of help answer those burning questions that are out there.
And especially for a lot of people that might have, brought a pet into their home during the pandemic, they're probably really wondering now about, certain things regarding that pet. Hopefully they still have that pet. I think talking about pandemic pets is probably worth bringing up at some point as well on the show.
It is. And we'll definitely make sure we cover that here over the next few weeks here. It is a really interesting time, right? All of a sudden the kids were home, everybody's working from home.
Yep.
The pet's role in that family, the pet's role in preventing loneliness is a really interesting thing. There's some of the data that's coming out about all the negative effects of the pandemic and loneliness and people increased anxiety and depression and the role pets have in actually preventing that and treating that. But now that people are going back into work in the workplace, the kids are back in school, it's a change for the pet.
Absolutely. And it's, it's so therapeutic, and that's there's just, like you said, there's so much data about the science behind how therapeutic a pet can be.
Correct.
For somebody.
Correct.
To give you an example. So this is not necessarily along the therapeutic lines, but my husband, we own a small trucking company as well. And so he's on the road all the time and he takes one of our German Shepherds with him all the time. Every trip, she's our road dog, Lexi, the road dog. And she keeps him company. He talks to her. He's there to pet her. It's like, I ask him, can you imagine being in the truck without her? And he says, yeah, I mean, I can. I've done it. He prefers to have her in the truck because right. it's another being. It's a partner for him.
Yeah.
And he talks to her. She may not be able to talk back, but
right.
yeah, he doesn't feel so alone in the truck all the time.
Marina, I think you're bringing up a really important and maybe a future whole topic that we can cover for a whole session on the role of pets in society and whether it's as a truck driver or whether it's, the role of pets in nursing homes
yes.
or the role in pets in schools and the role that pets can provide for all of that.
Yes.
It's a very
so
interesting subject and we'll definitely try to add
Absolutely.
That as a future topic of discussion.
Sounds good to me. Yeah. So first of all, how can people reach you if they have a question? Do you have an email that they can send a question to?
Yeah. So I have a couple different options on that. So my veterinary company is called Cara Veterinary, which is C-A-R-A. We have 10 hospitals that I own and help operate here in the greater Seattle area.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can go to our website, which is caraveterinary.com, C-A-R-A veterinary.com. And we have a landing page there that's for Pause and Listen. And
oh,
you
perfect.
Can submit your questions there.
Perfect.
You can also email directly to pause@caraveterinary.com.
Oh, that's easy enough.
And
that's just to be clear, P-A-W-S.
P-A-W-S,
okay.
Yes.
Play on words.
So
okay.
Play on words, so on to that.
Okay, sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So we already have a question for you.
Great.
And it's from me.
Okay.
Because this is the first time we've given out the email address, so we haven't been able to get to emails just yet. But I do want to ask you about 4th of July, because of course, so many pet owners have this issue with their pets just being terrified, not only on the 4th, but days leading up and days after, because as we know, people don't just do fireworks on the 4th, right? We have to deal with fireworks before and after. So
right.
we definitely need to talk about that, but we're going to head into a break and we'll come back with that question for you.
That sounds perfect.
How are you feeling so far, Peter?
I'm feeling great.
Yeah?
Thanks for your help, Marina.
Yeah, you're settling right in. You're doing great.
Awesome. Thank you.
Radio traffic from the High Performance Homes Traffic Center.
Seeing some delays on I-5 southbound near exit 136, support of Tacoma Road in Fife. A collision there has the left lane blocked. Things moving slowly from around State Route 18. Delays of just over 10 minutes there. Seattle to Tacoma on southbound 5, currently taking just over 45 minutes. Northbound Tacoma to Seattle moving a bit quicker. The drive currently taking just over 35. Our next northwest traffic at 224. I'm Sam Rongby.
Your pet is an irreplaceable family member. That's why Cara Veterinary should be your vet of choice. Cara puts pets first, addressing their medical needs and the emotional needs of their human owners. Cara has 10 clinics throughout Western Washington. Click CaraVeterinary.com to find the one that's near you. And see for yourself how Cara is reimagining the veterinary experience. Cara Veterinary, where the pet care experience is designed from the animal perspective. That's C-A-R-A Veterinary.com.
Be advised, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to save 40 to 80% on a hot tub and swim spa. 5 days only. Today through Tuesday. Angel of the Winds Arena, Everett. Be advised, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to save 40 to 80% on a hot tub and swim spa. 5 days only. Today through Tuesday. Angel of the Winds Arena, Everett. 18-month interest-free financing. Our factories have demanded we sell 1,000 hot tubs and swim spas. Angel of the Winds Arena, Everett. Huge factory incentives and factory rebates. Angel of the Winds Arena, Everett. We can remove your old hot tub. Free delivery of your new hot tub. Hot tub starting at $2,999. Angel of the Winds Arena, Everett. Free delivery of your new hot tub. Just relax and enjoy. Today, 10 to 8. Sunday, 10 to 6. Monday, 10 to 5. Tuesday, 10 to 5. Free admission. Free delivery. Angel of the Winds Arena, Everett. Call 833-SPA-SALE or visit hottubandswimspasale.com.
Tom Turner and another happy customer of Mathewson's Automotive in Renton.
I think it was a check engine light came on. So I just called Josh at Mathewson's, and we've just really enjoyed the experience of working with Mathewson's.
Quite a place, isn't it?
Great place, yeah. Absolutely. Great people and everything. And I just wanted to call and thank you for the Mathewson's recommendation.
Good service, good people. Mathewson's Automotive. Call 425-226-2965 or MathewsonsAutomotive.com.
Do me a favor. Grab your latest investment statements if you know where they are. How many do you have? A lot? How many different investments are in each statement? A bunch? Do you own individual stocks, bonds, sector funds, and stuff you don't understand? Yeah, I thought so. I'm Don McDonald, and I'm pretty sure you have a case of hodgepodgeitis. But don't worry, it's not terminal and can be cured. But it takes three things: a bit of time, some fiduciary guidance, and a plan. There's a problem, though. Most financial advisors can't or won't provide any of those. That's where we come in. Tom and I will provide you the help you need to overcome hodgepodgeitis in a free, no-obligation meeting with an Appella advisor at TalkingRealMoney.com. So, scan or take a picture of all those pages you gathered, then go to TalkingRealMoney.com, click on Meet an Advisor, and set up a free appointment online or by phone when it's convenient for you. Let us sort through the mess and help you get started on a better, simpler future plan. Just go to TalkingRealMoney.com or call 800-386-3004.
It's a Northwest News Radio Lifestyle Weekend. Now, back to Pause and Listen. And your host from Cara Veterinary, Dr. Peter Brown.
Thanks for being here and welcome back to Pause and Listen. I'm here with Marina and working through this, my first show here.
Yes, you're doing great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And the first question we're going to address is actually from Marina.
Yes,
so I'm not sure what she's going to ask, but we're ready to do that. I know it has to do with the 4th of July.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to ask you anything you're not going to know. But, you know, I know a lot of people, we were just talking about this before the break, regarding the 4th of July. And my pets, as a lot of pets, really do. One of my dogs, I have two German Shepherds. One doesn't seem to affect him. He's fine with it. He can hear fireworks and blasts and explosions. But my other dog, Lexi, she has a lot more anxiety about it. Mm-hmm. We have tried natural things. We've tried a thunder shirt with her. If people don't know what that is, can you explain what a thunder shirt is?
Of course, yeah. And we'll, a thunder shirt is a real, it's basically a very tight, think of a baby being swaddled,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And the comfort that can provide. Like, there's a difference between Lexi and Murphy on how they respond to fireworks. There can also be a dramatic difference of which dogs respond to thunder shirts.
So,
I've had
dogs
do amazing with them,
and
others
okay.
don't seem to make much of a difference.
Yeah, it doesn't make much of a difference for her. We just try and keep the house quiet. We do stay home with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think basically she does tend to get a little more freaked out as the evening goes by,
sure.
The days before and the days after. So what are some of your suggestions?
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess first of all, every year can be a little different, and there does tend to be some buildup in most dogs. I mean, in year to year, there tends to be getting worsening of that. You know, and they just, the anxiety tends to build through that. Certainly has happened with my dogs until towards the end of their life when they became deaf, and then they didn't bother at all, right? So through that, but prior to that time, there tends to be buildup, and certainly buildup as we go through the weekend and the holiday. As the first night, there's a few, there's a little anxious, and then you know the third and the fourth come, and there's a lot of buildup. So there's a lot of different avenues, and I think you pointed out a couple of them. Mm-hmm. Trying to get to a very quiet, dark place.
Yeah.
It's not only the noise, but sometimes the light flashing is also a factor. So making sure that they don't have exposure to those, you know, the lights and the big flashes. Some music as a background. Probably one of the most important things you stated was you're there with them. And so,
yeah, I was just going to go into that. So, because it just occurred to me when our kids were younger, we didn't have these German Shepherds. We had cats.
Uh-huh.
So we could leave the house and go enjoy fireworks. But what do you recommend that people just don't do that?
Yeah.
Or could you medicate your pet and then go?
Yeah, let's talk about medication in a minute, because that certainly is an option and often one of the most viable options to do. I think when you look at your house, and once again, this can be for cats too. So this is not only dogs. Certainly the issue is more common in dogs, but cats sometimes can really also have a lot of anxiety through this and the noises and everything that's going on. So I do recommend staying with them. Mm-hmm. I also recommend is if you know you're in one of those neighborhoods that explodes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who isn't these days?
Yeah. But if you can get away from that and take your pet and actually remove them from the situation, whether it's you know, a friend that's in a quiet, sleepy neighborhood or out of town a little bit sometimes can be helpful. Getting them removed from it, especially if they have very sincere, serious anxiety, can make a big difference on that.
No, that's huge. I mean, that's it, not for a lot, like a lot of us can't, you know, take off with the animals, but I do like the suggestions for sure.
So medication is also can be extremely effective. And so we, you know, first of all, you have to have an established care with your veterinarian.
Okay, so it's not just something medications. That you can,
yeah, it's not something you can just show up. Other word of advice, because after being a veterinarian for 32 years, is people often show up on the third and want medication.
And there's a line out the door.
And there's a line out the door, or we're running out. Sometimes supply chain issues.
So, now might be a little too late.
It's a little close. I mean, if you do call tomorrow, or our clinics are all open on Monday here coming up, be nice to them and understand.
Yeah.
In the future, highly recommend at least 3 or 4 weeks ahead of time.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Yeah. So, maybe a month out,
Be prepared onto that.
Absolutely.
But there are some extremely safe medications, and you're not just making them sleepy. You're actually decreasing anxiety.
Okay, that was the next question. Like, I mean, could some of those medications make them sleepy?
They will also have some sedative effects, but it's important to have a medication that does more than just make them sleepy.
Okay.
They could still be anxious even though they're tired.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Although if they fell asleep, that would be nice. Then you don't have to worry as much about that.
Yeah. It's kind of a combination of both.
So for those of us that don't know, what are the medications generally?
So there's a lot of the similar medications that we think of with people. So there's like medications like trazodone, alprazolam are two of the more common ones we use onto this. They're very safe. Think about medications that people take for flying in an airplane to decrease that anxiety.
Okay.
And those are the type medications. They are prescription. They're highly effective, extremely safe. But you need to work with your local veterinarian on what's best for your pet.
So listen, I know we have to go into break here in just a second, but I do have a follow-up question about those medications, those prescriptions that you're talking about. It is in regards to giving them your own medication if you happen to have it on hand.
Great. We'll catch up with you after the break.
Radio traffic from the High Performance Homes Traffic Center.
Continuing to see growing delays on I-5 southbound near the Port of Tacoma Road. An earlier collision there has a left lane blocked. Things moving slowly from State Route 18. Delays around 20 minutes there. Seattle to Tacoma taking just over 50 minutes right now. Tacoma to Seattle northbound taking 35. Over on I-90 westbound, an earlier stalled vehicle that was partially blocking the off-ramp to Rainier Avenue has been cleared. Things moving freely once again. Our next Northwest traffic at 234. I'm Sam Rongby.
Okanagan County is the size of Connecticut with over 40,000 people, but has no publicly funded animal shelter. Team Okanagan Animal Rescue, with your generous support, is working to change this. This is Peter Brown, founder of Cara Veterinary. I am asking for your support to bring welfare services and compassionate care to the animals of Okanagan County. To donate, go to TeamOKAnimalRescue.org. Once again, we need the donations. TeamOKAnimalRescue.org.
With over 3,500 gaming machines, fine dining, and great entertainment, it doesn't matter what you do or where you're coming from. What you do is all at Muckleshoot Casino. Muckleshoot. We're giving away $2,000 cash every hour, Wednesdays 3 to 7 p.m. It's Summer Cash Frenzy Wednesday. Play with your rewards card, and you could be a winner. Muckleshoot. You can't fight the feeling, and you keep on loving the one and only REO Speedwagon live at Muckleshoot Event Center, Wednesday, August 23rd. Get your tickets now. Muckleshoot. Muckleshoot Casino is what you do. An easy drive from wherever you are. All roads lead to Muckleshoot Casino. Come in, have fun.
Muckleshoot. Staples has everything you need to help run your small business. Shipping supplies and services to help move orders out the door. Print marketing services so you can print signs, banners, and presentations fast. And now during Staples Small Business Deal Days, you save 50% when you buy any combination of five or more boxes, mailers, and shipping tubes. Plus, find new deals for small business in-store every week. Keep your business running right and safe at Staples. Offer valid in-store online order pickup and Instacart. Exclusions apply. Not valid in Concord, New Hampshire location. Prices may vary. N7.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
At SimpliSafe, your safety is the only thing that matters. Introducing 24/7 LiveGuard protection, only from SimpliSafe Home Security. Now, monitoring agents can see and speak to intruders through our new indoor camera to help stop crime in real time and for fast police response. Get 20% off any new system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplisafe.com/radio. Advanced home security, 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
News Radio 1000 FM 97.7. Stay connected, stay informed.
I'm Kathy O'Shea, and here's what's happening. Socialist firebrand Shama Sawant is trying one last time to pass rent control before her time on the Seattle City Council comes to an end. Northwest News Radio's Kerwin Hank reports.
It's a longtime pet cause for the veteran council member who, after 10 years in office, is not seeking re-election.
Our bill would cap rent increases at no more than the rate of inflation.
Most members of the public attending today's rent control bill launch were supportive, but not all.
Rent control is the ultimate NIMBY policy, and Sawant's proposal is the worst possible version.
Rental property owners also point out state law currently bans rent control. That's why Sawant says her measure is a trigger law.
It becomes effective the moment the state law banning rent control is overturned.
Of course, the full city council and the mayor must approve it first. Corwin Hake, Northwest News Radio.
Recreational crabbing season opens today in many parts of the Sound, and that can be a troubling time for state ferries. Como 4's Joe Moreno has more.
Ferries typically follow specific lanes or routes as they cross Puget Sound, but sometimes they are in the same areas where recreational crabbers decide to set their pots. The overlap most often occurs along the Edmonds-Kingston Run and the ferry routes north up to and including the San Juan Islands. The buoys that mark the crab pots, they can be hard for a ferry captain to spot from the bridge, and if a boat goes over one, those lines can easily wrap around the propeller, potentially crack the seals. A spokesperson for the ferry system says because it wasn't a big issue last season, but that is not always the case.
But years past, we've had 3, 4, 5 vessels that go out in a matter of a couple weeks. And that would be absolutely detrimental to the ferry system and people that want to travel on the ferries.
Sometimes the damage is so extensive, the vessel has to be pulled from the water. And if there is no dry dock space available, well, that ferry could be out of service for months.
Como Force Joe Moreno.
News Radio traffic from the High Performance Homes Traffic Center.
In 5, an earlier collision on I-5 southbound near exit 136, Port of Tacoma Road has been cleared. However, we are still seeing delays around 20 minutes. Things moving slowly from State Route 18 as those backups get moving. Once again, Seattle to Tacoma taking just over 50 minutes right now. Northbound Tacoma to Seattle taking just over 35. Here to cross the water, Bellevue to Seattle cross westbound I-90 taking around 20 minutes. Our next Northwest traffic at 244, I'm Sam Romvey.
Radio 1000 FM 97.7 forecast from the Northwest Crawl Space Services Weather Center.
Catch a morning cloud cover around Puget Sound each morning, but then lots of afternoon clearing. Highs back into the mid to the upper 70s here for the first couple of days of the month. It's the 4th of July where things get toasty quickly. We'll see north to northeasterly winds by Independence Day and especially by the 5th of July in the Come Before Weather Center. I'm meteorologist Shannon O'Donnell.
It's a Northwest News Radio Lifestyle Weekend. Now, back to Pause and Listen. And your host from Cara Veterinary, Dr. Peter Brown.
Welcome back to Pause and Listen. I'm here with Marina Rockinger, and we're talking about 4th of July. So,
yes.
Yeah, so thanks for everybody's patience through this first time with me.
You're doing great. And again, if you're just tuning in now, this is like Peter's first time on the radio. This is a brand new show for him, first time on the radio. And I got to tell you, you sound like a pro. You're doing great. No problem. Yeah.
Well, thanks for the compliment. Aww. We'll take it that way. So,
yeah. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, you look great in the headphones. And I think that's all that really matters at this point, right?
Well, I think, you know, we'll face for radio, I think, is how they say that.
All right, so before the break, we were talking about prescription medications to help calm your pet for the 4th of July.
Right.
And you had mentioned some, and those are, like you said, Trazodone, mm-hmm. and there was another one you
Alprazolam.
Mentioned.
Alprazolam.
Yep. Alprazolam. Sometimes people take those. So right. If I happen to have some of those in my house, and I thought, well, you know what, I've got them, can I just split one in half and give it to my dog?
No.
What do you recommend? No.
So the answer is no.
Yeah. Under no circumstances.
Under no circumstances. Okay. There's a lot of variation in these medications, and it really needs to be a specific prescription for that pet.
Okay.
And even using, let's say they prescribe something for Lexi, it wouldn't necessarily be, you know, appropriate for your other dog, Murphy.
Oh, for
too.
Murphy. Well, and so, I just thought of it because Lexi is like 65 pounds and Murphy's 110 pounds. Yeah. So that makes a big difference too,
huge
right?
Huge difference. Yeah. I mean, all medications are dosed on a kilogram base.
Right.
But dogs have a different sensitivity to medications than people do. So
just not recommended that
just
you
just don't do it. Yeah, just don't do it.
So while we're talking about medications, what about more natural approaches? Like if I just go to the health food store or I go to the natural part of the store and I just grab something I think will work, what do you think of that?
Yeah, and there's a lot out there, and a lot of them can be highly effective over-the-counter medications. Mm-hmm. Once again, I would recommend checking with your veterinarian because there's some underlying health issues that even the over-the-counters could be interfering with.
Okay.
I also just find a lot of variation, just like we were talking about with the Thunder Shirt,
right,
where some dogs do really well with that, and others, it doesn't seem to make much of a difference. And so I would recommend, especially for any of the over-counter medication, check with your veterinarian and make sure that they're safe for whatever else is going on with your dog or cat.
So like if I decide it's a good idea to give my dog melatonin, I would call you and you'd say...
That sounds great. Not knowing Lexi or Murphy, it, obviously as a veterinarian, I would know about your pet and make that recommendation. The other thing is I would highly recommend trying some of those things before you need it.
Yeah, don't wait till the day of.
Right. maybe a quiet Saturday afternoon.
Right.
Ahead of time, try it, see how they react to it.
But again, with your vet's guidance, right? Don't just go out and get melatonin and give your dog.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
And probably not.
There are some safe alternatives. I would say that especially for dogs or cats with severe anxiety, you are going to have better luck with the prescription medications.
Right. Oh, but that also brings up the point too. Like if somebody calls you on the 3rd and says, hey, I need it now. And you say, well, look, we're either running out or we just don't have space for you today. Appointment wise, maybe that at that point they could talk to the vet and say, well, can you give me some other alternatives that we could try together?
100%.
Because again, the vet's going to know your pet. So they're going to know the pet's history, the weight.
Definitely give you some guidance on there on the specific dosing
Yeah, I love that.
So, yeah, because I have seen over years some problems with over-the-counter medications, mostly from inappropriate dosing.
Right. I would think that's a huge issue because, again, it goes back to when people go, well, I could just give my dog my Valium. That should work, right?
Right. Yeah, they're
probably not a good idea.
Not a good idea. Same way you shouldn't probably be taking your dog's Valium either. So,
really? You tell me this now? No. Thanks, Peter.
That explains a lot.
Explains why she's out of Valium now. I've just never thought about it that way. I know. Should probably think about that in the future.
Yeah.
With 4th of July, you know, basically here, and we're already hearing the explosions in our neighborhood. It is a tough time of year for people and their pets. And as you said earlier, it's not just dogs that get affected. I mean, it's cats too.
Correct.
What kind of behaviors have you seen in cats generally? Because dogs, we know they might bark at the noise or they might cower. What do cats generally do?
Yeah, there's usually a kind of the fight or flight type mechanism that can occur. The most common I see is hiding.
I was just going to mention that.
You know, under the bed, behind the toilet, in a cupboard. They're just trying to get away and escape from there. There's also sometimes where they become in an extreme pant. Think of a panic attack almost.
Oh, and panting, right?
They're panting, but they also just try to get out.
Right.
And so it is one of the more common problems we have is actually pets escaping. And it's the most common day of the year where pets are lost.
Okay.
And it's partly where they're just trying to get away.
Right. Okay.
Onto that.
Right. That makes sense. Like, and especially if you have an indoor only cat, for example, and you open the door, the cat may try and run out just because it doesn't know what else to do.
Yeah. You could have a cat that never tries to go outside and you kind of get relaxed about it. All of a sudden fireworks are going off.
Oof.
Somebody, you know, friend, neighbor, you open the door and they shoot out that door.
So that actually makes sense. I guess it brings me to another question about microchipping because like my pets are all microchipped. Obviously, it's a good recommendation, right? I mean, all pets should be microchipped just for that very reason.
Yes.
And we can talk about that when we come back from the break. But
yeah, that'd be perfect. It's a very important thing and I highly recommend microchipping, but there's a lot of misinformation out there. So let's cover that after.
Yeah. See, I hadn't even thought about that.
Let's cover that after the break.
All right. Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to hearing what you have to say about that.
Your pet is an irreplaceable family member. That's why Cara Veterinary should be your vet of choice. Cara puts pets first, addressing their medical needs and the emotional needs of their human owners. Cara has 10 clinics throughout Western Washington. Click CaraVeterinary.com to find the one that's near you and see for yourself how Cara is reimagining the veterinary experience. Cara Veterinary, where the pet care experience is designed from the animal perspective. That's C-A-R-A Veterinary.com.
Be advised, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to save 40 to 80% on a hot tub and swim spa.
5 days only.
Today through Tuesday. Angel of the Winds Arena, Everett. Be advised, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to save 40 to 80% on a hot tub and swim spa.
5 days only.
Today through Tuesday. Angel of the Winds Arena, Everett. 18-month interest-free financing.
Our factories have demanded we sell 1,000 hot tubs and swim spas.
Angel of the Winds Arena, Everett. Huge factory incentives and factory rebates. Angel of the Winds Arena, Everett.
We can remove your old hot tub.
Free delivery of your new hot tub. Hot tub starting at $2,999. Angel of the Winds Arena, Everett. Free delivery of your new hot tub.
Just relax and enjoy.
Today, 10 to 8. Sunday, 10 to 6. Monday, 10 to 5. Tuesday, 10 to 5. Free admission. Free delivery. Angel of the Winds Arena, Everett. Call 833-SPA-SALE or visit hottubandswimspasale.com.
International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, IBEW Local 46, specializes in all electric-based renewable energy for your home, your business, and large-scale commercial projects. With over 6,200 of the world's finest electrical workers, IBEW 46 members are your true power professionals for solar, EV charging stations, and beyond. For renewable energy, hire the best, hire the most skilled power professionals. Learn more at IBEW46.com. That's IBEW46.com.
Yeah, I'm so stressed. Our business is growing. We've got people all over now.
Ooma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending the Ooma cloud phone system with auto attendant and more than 50 features.
Ooma?
Yep, switching to Ooma is a cinch. Just $24.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Ooma.
Now you're feeling it. Find Small Business Calm at UMA.com/radio. That's OOMA.com/radio.
Yeah, I'm so stressed. Our business is growing. We've got people all over now.
UMA.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending the UMA Cloud Phone System with auto attendant and more than 50 features.
UMA?
Yep. Switching to UMA is a cinch. Just $24.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
UMA.
Now you're feeling it. Find Small Business Calm at UMA.com/radio. That's OOMA.com/radio.
News Radio traffic from the High Performance Homes Traffic Center.
Seeing some delays on I-5 southbound near exit 122 to Berkeley Street, close to Joint Base Lewis-McChord. A stalled vehicle there is blocking the center lane. Things moving slowly from Bridgeport Way. Delays of around 10 minutes there. Tacoma to Olympia currently taking 65 minutes. Olympia to Tacoma in just over 25. Over in 5, we're still seeing some minor delays on I-5 southbound near Port of Tacoma Road. An earlier collision there has been cleared. Still seeing delays around 15 minutes. Our next Northwest traffic at 254. I'm Sam Romvey.
It's a Northwest News Radio Lifestyle Weekend. Now, back to Pause and Listen. And your host from Cara Veterinary, Dr. Peter Brown.
Welcome back to Pause and Listen. We're really excited to be here, and this is our first show.
Yes.
We were just talking about microchips, and Marina was asking me some questions about it. I really think this is it's a very important topic. Once again, around 4th of July is our number one day where pets are lost.
Absolutely believe that.
It's, over the years, I could think of so many panic calls that I got on the 5th where their dog was missing, their cat was missing, and these aren't roaming dogs and cats. They just panicked and escaped. And even one story where a dog chewed through the drywall, was left alone in a house and got out and drilled, you know.
That's heartbreaking.
Yes, and it was just extreme panic, right?
Yeah.
And the things that can happen during those moments. So, first of all, I highly recommend a collar with a tag, right?
Of course. So when they see it,
because if they show up at your neighbor's, they're not going to have a scanner for the microchip, right? and so that can actually alleviate a lot. But a lot of times collars are lost or fall off. And so the microchip is this permanent identification. So what's a microchip?
Right.
So it's about the size of a grain of rice. It's implanted in the skin, typically between the shoulder blades, just right under the skin. It lives there forever. It's not battery powered. It is a identification number that's there that's read by a scanner.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think they're like a tracking chip.
Right, so you can't watch your dog like on a tracking device, a GPS.
Hopefully someday we have that availability.
Right.
And that technology does exist now, but only in the collars. So there are GPS tracking collars. There's some great brands out there. One of the challenges from a technology standpoint is battery life.
Yes, of course.
And so until that's resolved, these microchips are not trackers. And so they do require a scanner. But thankfully, every vet hospital, every humane society, the animal control officers all have scanners. Mostly it happens with one of our clinics is somebody brings in that they found the dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they come in and the first thing we do is scan them. And then there's a database that we can go in there. We can put the number. So it's usually an alphanumeric number there that comes across. We put that number in there. There's a database. Next thing you know, we have that person's contact information onto that. A couple critical points on that. You need to register when you get your pet microchipped. And then if you purchase, let's say, from a humane society or some other rescue organization, just do a double check that that's your pet's registered.
Okay.
I've seen sometimes where they didn't get registered. If you move and or your contact information changes, or if the ownership of the dog changes or cat changes, make sure that you update your registration on there.
I imagine people forget that quite a bit.
It's very frustrating when we all of a sudden we call a number, it's disconnected, pet has a microchip, we know it has an owner, and we can't find it.
Yeah.
We will then try to trace it back to the veterinarian that inserted the microchip because that's in the data. And we've been able to find some pet owners through that channel. But really recommend keeping it up.
Right. And that, and you know, it's paid off for us because our dog Lexi got out at one point. And so the way it works for us is we did register, but instead of our phone number on her tag, we have the veterinarian's phone number.
Yes. Yep.
So they call the veterinarian and then they're able to look it up. And then we get a call from the company, not the vet or the neighbor. It's the company that runs the microchip, I think, that has the database.
Yes.
And so we'll get a call. And so I think my husband and I both have it in our phones, as we've only gotten this call, I think, once, but it's like something like Lexi's gone or Lexi's on the, something like that.
Right.
Lexi's on the run. So when the phone number comes up, we know to answer it.
Like, that's a great suggestion.
Yeah, right?
Yes. Yeah. Cause if you're like me, I don't ever answer numbers unless they're
that
in
you
my
don't
contacts.
Recognize.
Yes,
right. So if you put it under there, like, you know, Lexi's loose, something like that. So we got that call and it was like, oh no, what? And then, she's fine. The neighbor has her, but here's where you can go get her.
Yeah,
it's definitely worth it. Just having had to go through that. And there's like a little feeling of panic as the pet owner. You're like, oh no, you know,
for sure.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like they're carrying their iPhone that you can track, right?
So, find my dog.
Yeah. I know. Maybe that technology comes sometime. Yeah. That's could be a good idea.
Find my dog. Yeah. Hey, that's our $1 million idea now, Peter.
Yes.
We have one.
Yes. So we'll have to do it together.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You got it.
Perfect.
So have you guys at Cara have received these types of calls or people brought a pet in
yes.
to the hospitals before?
Yes. It happens very frequently, unfortunately.
Probably more frequently than you prefer?
Yes, yeah. for sure.
But at least they're microchipped. So
at least they're
thing.
Microchipped. And it is, you know, that's the first thing we do is run the scanner across them. And we have our hospitals range from up in Bellingham down to Bremerton, down to Parkland.
Oh,
and so,
good.
We have quite a range out of there. And certainly some of our more rural areas, we tend to see more animals show up that, you know, are separated from their owners.
Yeah.
But even down in, you know, our you know, one of our hospitals is in Fremont, and then mm-hmm. we have a Queen Anne and a Capitol Hill location.
Wow.
And, you know, pets get lost everywhere.
Of course.
And to that, and, you know, we live in town up in Bellingham, and it's frequently where all of a sudden we have a stray dog on our porch, right?
I think
they know I'm a veterinarian. And so they're like, hey, this person will take care of me. So, over the years, we've had actually a goat show up on our porch one time
a
that
goat?
Was lost. Yes. Yeah. That
was it
interesting.
Microchipped?
It was not microchipped, but it should have been. So.
I was going to say, do you recommend microchipping goats?
Yeah.
Do you microchip goats in your office?
I actually have microchipped goats before.
For real?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And then when you register the goats, does each one has to be registered individually?
Correct.
Okay.
And I've never done it. This has only been for like pet goats. So
that's,
I've never done
awesome.
Like
a whole herd of goats.
So yeah.
You know, the ones out eating the grass on the freeway or
right,
something.
Right.
Gotcha. So you were just talking about Cara. So how many do you have? How many locations?
So we currently have 9 locations and
oh,
we're
wow.
in the process of building our 10th one right now.
Really? Where?
It's in Roosevelt.
Nice.
So right near the Whole Foods there.
Uh-huh.
And we're right above it. So next to the Mud Bay, right above the Whole
oh,
Foods
fantastic.
There in Roosevelt. Yeah.
I love that. So tell me about the name, Cara, because your name is Peter Brown. So how did you come up with the name?
So I have a very close friend who's actually from Ireland. And we were sitting around and talking about the future of vet medicine and really wanting to preserve what's been great about this profession and decided to found and start Cara there. This is 5-6 years ago now.
In Ireland?
We were actually in the U.S. He was from Ireland.
Gotcha.
And through this conversation, we were debating different names. And he said, well, describe what you want. And I said, I want to treat our pet parents when they come in just like a good old friend.
Aww.
And, you know, that we trust. We have a relationship together and we work together through the care of the pet. And he goes, well, you know what? In Gaelic is old friend. It's Cara.
No way.
I'm like, well, that's perfect.
That is perfect.
Let's just go with Cara Veterinary and go
fantastic.
That direction. So our clinics are all named based on their geographical location. So we have like Fremont Animal Hospital.
Oh, okay.
The new one will be Roosevelt Animal Hospital. We have Mercer Street, Madison Street. A new one that I opened in this in January this year is on Mercer Island, so it's Island Animal Hospital. So they don't necessarily have Cara in their name, but we're named after that local area. And if you go to caraveterinary.com, you'll be able to see a list of all of our hospitals and their locations.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah.
So what was the very first location you opened?
So Juanita Hills in Kirkland was our first location. So.
And I take it it's still there?
It's still there. Yep, it's been there for about 4 years. Yeah, so we have that one in Kirkland, and we also have one in Woodinville. So Woodinville Veterinary Hospital.
Okay.
Which we've had I've had about 3 years now, two and a half years. Yeah.
And how often do you get to each of these hospitals?
Not as often as I would like to. Right. But I was actually just yesterday I was in Juanita for part of the day, and then I was in Mercer Street, the one up by Lower Queen Anne, for part of the day.
So you started all these animal hospitals. Do you still practice medicine? Like, are you still able to practice?
Not very much anymore, though. Every once in a while they ask me for help with a case. I think it's mostly to make me feel good. So I was helping with a respiratory case on an older dog yesterday. Which
not makes good me feel for the good. Dog, but I'm glad that you're still able to get in there, because it's probably important that you still keep your hand in it.
It is, of course. Yes. And I love doing that. Yeah. But we have an amazing team of doctors. We have over 30 doctors at the location now, and the support staff is unbelievable. They function very well without me interfering. But it is one of the things I'm passionate about is mentoring and developing people. And so being present is really important for that.
That brings me a question. Like, I know a lot of people have dreams of becoming a veterinarian or a vet tech of some sort. What do you recommend to people? Like, if somebody right now is listening and they're saying, you know, I've always wanted to go into that field.
Yeah. So I guess a couple of words of advice. One is do it. Nice. And it's never too late.
Okay, so, that was my next question, because I was thinking of a high school kid or a college kid, but let's say you're 35 years old and you're like, you know, I've always wanted to go into vet medicine.
Then, yeah, and some of our best veterinarians were a little later in their life where they made that decision and change. And there's a lot of things in life that potentially could be in your way. When I graduated from veterinary school, I was really young. I was 24 years old I graduated vet school. But I had classmates that were in their 50s.
Oh, really?
When they graduated.
Well, that's encouraging.
And obviously a second career for them.
Yeah.
So highly recommend it. Veterinary technicians are an extremely valuable part of our team, as the whole team is. But think of what an RN does for a doctor. That's what the licensed technicians do for us. And it is definitely a shorter school time. It's still a devotion to going to school. You're still licensed by the state. But it's a route that a lot of people choose for, men and women choose to go through. Vet school is still hyper competitive to get into.
It is. I didn't even think, well, I guess, yeah, you're right. I guess a lot of people have thought about doing it. So
yeah, and there's only about 30 veterinary schools in the country too. So there's a limited opportunity to go there, and they have relatively small enrollment on there.
So you went to Washington State?
I did.
You said, okay.
I did my undergrad as well as my veterinary school there.
Oh, okay. Then I'm going to guess that as a coug, you would highly recommend it.
Highly recommend that. Yeah. My wife went there. That's where my wife's a school teacher. We met there, and actually all three of my children have gone there. Not as veterinarians, but we're definitely a coug family.
Yeah, oh, I see it. Okay. Yes, oh, yeah. I am wearing purple today. I hope that's okay.
No,
right?
It's not.
We're good with that.
We're going to talk about that later.
We'll talk about that off the air. I guess, okay, I'll remember not to wear purple next. Or I just might wear it every time just to get it. So being a veterinarian, is it something that, you know, you said it was like a dream of yours and you always grew up around animals and everything? Is it everything you had hoped it would be?
It is. It's an amazing profession. I think the one thing that an advice I give to, you know, students, and we actually work with a lot of students that come and do part of their training with us, is this is also an amazing people business. We think of it as an animal business. But our pets don't make the decision to come to us, right? They come attached to an owner. And I've yet to have a pet sitting on the bench waiting for me with a credit card in its paw saying, fix me, right? They come attached to a person. And so it is the key to our success is how do we engage with the pet parent to take care of the pet.
Right. And considering one of the cats I had in the past, it was literally attached to me when I brought it in one time because I couldn't get it into the
carrier.
Right?
Yeah.
So I just had to bring it in and hope for the best.
Right.
Luckily, the vet was really cool about it. But yeah, you're right. You build these relationships. Like, we have a veterinarian who we adore. And it's like, if he ever tells us, oh yeah, you know, I'm moving on, or I'm just, yeah, I'm hanging it up. Well, I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Because it is a relationship that you build with this person and you trust them with your pet's lives.
Yeah, I love this profession. This is great.
Okanagan County is the size of Connecticut with over 40,000 people, but has no publicly funded animal shelter. Team Okanagan Animal Rescue, with your generous support, is working to change this. This is Peter Brown, founder of Cara Veterinary. I am asking for your support to bring welfare services and compassionate care to the animals of Okanagan County. To donate, go to TeamOKAnimalRescue.org. Once again, we need the donations. TeamOKAnimalRescue.org.
Tom Turner here for Mathewson's Automotive and Tire in Renton. Truly one of the finest shops in the country. Top quality vehicle maintenance and repair has been Mathewson's trademark since 1933. They've got outstanding technicians and all the latest equipment and tooling to diagnose and fix all makes and all models. And happy customers are their specialty at Mathewson's. A AAA top shop and winner of the City of Renton's Total Quality Business Award. 271 Rainier Avenue North in Renton, or click MathewsonsAutomotive.com. Mathewson's, the Nordstrom of auto repair.
Yeah, I'm so stressed. Our business is growing. We've got people all over now.
Uma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending the Uma cloud phone system with auto attendant and more than 50 features.
Uma?
Yep. Switching to Uma is a cinch. Just $24.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Uma.
Now you're feeling it. Find Small Business Calm at uma.com/radio. That's OOMA.com/radio.
You could throw your flip-flop at a bug.
Ew, a bug, get it.
But the chances of actually hitting it...
Oh, over there!
...are statistically...
Yeah, it's still alive.
Unlikely. Good thing nature's got your back. Stem bug killers combine powerful active ingredients found in plants like lemongrass and geraniol, and scientifically engineer them into effective bug-fighting formulas, safe for use as directed around people, pets, and throughout the home. Stem. Rooted in nature, optimized by science.
Radio traffic from the High Performance Homes Traffic Center.
Continuing to see some delays on I-5 southbound near exit 122 to Berkeley Street, close to Joint Base Lewis-McChord. A stalled vehicle there is blocking the right lane. Traffic moving slowly from Bridgeport Way. Delays of just over 5 minutes. Tacoma to Olympia taking 65 minutes right now. Tacoma to Seattle in 35. Seattle to Tacoma in 45. Seattle to Everett in 40. Everett to Seattle in the same. Our next Northwest traffic at 304. I'm Sam Ronke.
It's a Northwest News Radio Lifestyle Weekend. Now, back to Pause and Listen. And your host from Cara Veterinary, Dr. Peter Brown.
Welcome back to Pause and Listen, Northwest News Radio's newest show here at 2. And
yes.
We're excited to be here with Marina. And focus today is on the around 4th of July and fireworks.
Absolutely. And Peter, by the way, you're doing a great job. For your first show out the gate, you're doing great.
Oh, thank you.
You're doing fantastic.
Thank you. You've been helping guide me very well. So I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, so we were just talking about 4th of July earlier in the show and some of the things that we should, if you could just kind of encapsulate for people what they should remember for the 4th.
Yeah, know your pet. Mm-hmm. And know what helps calm them down and be present with them. Most of the times when I see severe injuries, it's when they're left alone. And yeah. So I think that would be the one biggest word of advice. And work with your veterinarian on potentially medication that can make life a lot easier for all of you.
And like you said earlier in the show, for anybody just joining us, like, don't call the vet today or tomorrow and expect to get it. But maybe next time. 4th of July isn't the only time people let off fireworks. Like New Year's Eve is another.
Correct.
It's not as big, but people do tend to do some fireworks. So maybe later in the year, what would you say? Yeah. Maybe early December or something
I'd
like that?
I'd say, 3-4 weeks mm-hmm. before when you need it. Get a hold of your vet.
Yeah,
get
absolutely.
On the right medication and be ready for those events.
But in the meantime, just reiterate maybe that you could call the vet and say, hey,
call
are there
vet.
Alternatives right
yeah.
now?
Our hospitals are all open tomorrow or Monday.
Monday, okay.
On the 3rd. Don't hesitate to reach out.
Right, so at least call if nothing else, right?
Yes. Yep.
And so I've asked you a lot of questions today and we've talked quite a bit. So if anybody wanted to ask you a question directly for this show, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Yeah, so there's two options.
Okay.
One is you can go to our website, caraveterinary.com.
That's
C-A-R-A.
C-A-R-A, yeah. Okay.
And we have a landing page there that's called the Pause and Listen Show, P-A-W-S. And you can submit questions
yourself?
There. I did come up with that,
job,
actually.
Peter.
I think one of my teammates helped me on that a little bit.
Right.
Or you can email directly to pause, P-A-W-S, @caraveterinary.com.
Yeah, so we invite you to write your questions, send them in. We're going to get them. Peter's going to get them.
You know, I suspect during the show,